So praise God for that. Well, today I want to say thank you to all of the people who came on the Steps to Freedom morning, yesterday morning. This coming Wednesday is our 9th Steps Freedom in Christ session. Then we've got one more week after that. But yesterday we spent a rather crammed morning going through the Steps to Freedom. But I believe that everyone left feeling, do you know what? This bondage thing, I've got the beating of this. I've got the better of this. And you know, that can be your story. Your story can be one of overcoming bondage, failure, things that have got you trapped. And you know, I've got a message this morning, and I could have titled it anything, but the title is, "What Story Have You Yet to Write?" And so follow me with this, and hopefully this short sermon will get something out of it at the end. But you know, we've just come off of 5 weeks of teaching about the importance of soul winning. Amen. And during this time, a handful of people have made recommitments or rededications to Jesus. And there's been a few people this year that have put their faith in Jesus for the first time. They've been born again. And their life stories have been redirected towards the plans that God had in mind for them. Amen? So there was a redirection. And, you know, stories are being written every day. Stories are being written in the Middle East right now. Stories are trying to be redirected one way or the other. And through this teaching this morning, hopefully we'll get the message across to you that we are like the pen in the hand of a ready writer, and God is the author of the plans for the future of this world. He knows what's going to happen. Amen. Do you believe that? If you think it's all going to be down to chance, then I'm going to say that you're wrong, because God has known from the beginning of time. And he's given all of us as sentient human beings the opportunity to choose certain ways and to choose a certain life and a certain path and who we're going to follow. And so, you know, God can redirect our plans. He can redirect our story. So I want you to get an impression in your mind just for a few moments. And I know that this place is full of creative beings, all right? Imagine being the pen or a brush in God's hand. Imagine being a pen or a brush in God's hand. God's holding the pen, but we're the ones who are leaving the ink on the paper. God, through us, is leaving an impression on other people's lives. Amen? Amen? So there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So long ago, he planned things for us to do that were good. And I love the Amplified version of the Bible. And it says, it puts it this way. We can take paths which he has set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. You know, a lot of people who may be critical of Christianity, especially evangelical Christianity and whatever you want to call it, would say that we are always trying to make it out about the good life and having things and prosperity and all of this kind of thing. But the Bible says that he had good things planned for us long ago. And I'm going to subscribe to that. And we all go through bad times, difficult times. But God says he had good things planned for us and prearranged for us long ago. And I believe that sometimes a simple redirection in our lives gets us onto a better path, to better things. And the world, this world that we live in, the system of the world, through false promises, secularism, consumerism, skewing the pictures of reality, etc., whatever you want to call it, tries to prevent people from getting on board with the gospel, tries to prevent people from being on track towards God. Discredits God, discredits His word, discredits Christianity. And the world introduces a myriad of paths that people can take to find something or a good life or whatever you want to call it. And in the Steps to Freedom yesterday, the people will know, we had a page full of stuff. The occult, ancestral worship, religion. I could go on and on. There's all sorts of paths that people could follow. So, what story have you yet to write? Well, once upon a time, there was a man called Paul. And this man called Paul wrote a letter to a church. And this church was in Ephesus. So it was the church, the Ephesians. And he begins his account by saying, and I'm paraphrasing this, it's Paul here. Here's Paul. I'm Paul. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm an apostle. And he puts there, by the will of God. He's an apostle by the will of God. Now, Paul's story never began at the book of Ephesians. His story began way before the book of Ephesians. So here's Paul. At some point in his life, he was given the opportunity to take a different path and begin to write a new story. Would you agree with that? Now, what is a story? A story is quite simply, it's either a real or an imagined account of someone's life or the developments in somebody's life. That's what a story is. And there's many stories out there. Some stories are imagined and produced for entertainment, and then there's real stories. It's like those, you know, when I was growing up back in the 80s and that in South Africa, it was very popular on the shelves of the bookstores to see true crime, real drama, you know, these cheap magazines that are all supposedly, you know, sensational and, oh, this really happened and everything. So you could argue that they became entertainment for people. So anyway, so there's this real account of past events, and we call that a story. Now, when you have lived your life and you recount, tell the story of your life, it's not imagined, is it? It's real. It's genuine. And it's a powerful statement to other people. Now, Paul's story would have been quite similar to ours in that, you know, once he was far from God and then he knew God. Amen? He was once spiritually dead, just like we were, and then he was made spiritually alive, just like we are. Amen? We're spiritually alive. Once upon a time, Paul was completely out of God's will, plan, and purpose, and then the next moment, when he took the right path, he was included in God's will, plan, and purpose. Amen? And we know one thing, that God is no respecter of persons. So what God can do for one person, he is completely free to do for another. Would you agree with that? Amen? And so he is miraculously included in God's plan and in God's will. And what was God's will for Paul's life? To be an apostle. Amen. So what's an apostle? An apostle is someone, and there's a wee bit of soul winning in this message. It crept in a wee bit. An apostle is somebody who is chosen and sent. And these apostles go to places and they lay foundations. They go to countries. They lay foundations. People have what they call an apostolic ministry. They go and they lay foundations in places for the church to grow. Amen? So this is what Paul is as an apostle. So the first apostles they were all there for the real story. They were eyewitnesses. Okay, they were right there in the vicinity of Jesus when amazing miracles were taking place. And what did they do? The first apostles simply went out and emulated what they seen their master doing. Isn't that right? So if you look at the way, if you study the word apostle and you look at the way it's used, especially in Hebrew, it means that the messenger resembles the sender insofar as the activity that the messenger does reflects the sender's will and authority. Okay? Amen? So, and then Jesus said, he added on to that just to make sure that we were all okay, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger or an apostle greater than the one who sent him. Amen? So here's God. This was a little bit of a rabbit trail, but here's Paul. He's now an apostle, and he's been sent. Amen? Now, it was by God's will that Paul was an apostle. So God, if it's God's will that you go somewhere, God, you can go wherever God says you can go. You can speak whatever God says you can speak. You can do whatever God says you can do. Some of us are thinking about Brother Dale Gentry, who's fond of saying all of those things. You can do. So if God is going to say, right, I'm going to send you, do you think he would send you without equipping you? He would make sure that when you were going, you would have the tools in the toolbox to go and do what you've got to do. Is that not right? So when we are in Christ, as Paul was in Christ, we need to believe this, that we have everything that we need in our lives to make an impact on the earth. Okay? Our Father, God in heaven, has all the pens. He has all the brushes. He has all the colors. He has all of that stuff already. Amen? He's a ready writer. He just needs a person to hold. He just needs a person to hold and a canvas to leave an impression upon. Amen? He just needs somebody that is willing to be used. Hallelujah. So it's like Michael and Lewis. Their story didn't begin when they got on the plane to South Africa. Their story began years and years ago, didn't it? And it's the development of that story has brought them all the way to Swaziland on this recent trip. Amen. And so for all of us, today is the day when we can begin to redirect our lives and our stories, and we can begin to write a new story. We can allow God to write a new story with our lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this. Now, some people, and I always encourage people, if you don't journal or if you don't write, begin to write. Begin to journal. Amen? Pick up your pens today and begin to write again. Make a note of the testimonies. I want to read this to you in Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Your story, your testimony is worth rejoicing about, and people will rejoice to hear it. It's even greater than riches. Amen? Because, you know, you could give me $1 million, and I might not get out of the hole that I'm in. But you tell me a story that I connect with, and it can change my life. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen? So, how many of you here have heard people saying, how you doing? Oh, same old story. It's actually a very good South African thing. They're very fond. Ugh, same old story, you know, same old, same old. But today, we can change the narrative. We can change the story. And that story can endure as Paul's did, as so many in God's word did. That story can endure for future generations. And it will be around forever. Amen? Stories help us to make sense of life. They bring things into perspective. Stories shine a hope into our lives. They shine a light, the light of hope into our lives. Some of the stories we love to hear are the stories of people who've overcome resistance. Some of the stories we like to hear of people who are the underdogs, and they've come out from obscurity and from, you know, from the being in the shadow of defeat, and they've overcome. These are the great stories. They've won. Amen. Amen. They've won. We love those stories. You know how, you know, it's like sometimes you think you hear somebody, oh, do you remember so-and-so? Yeah, I remember them. Well, did you know that now they just planted a church in Swaziland and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, are you kidding me on? So-and-so actually went and did that? It's like, yeah, their life story was redirected. At a certain point in time, something happened. Amen? I'd like to share a part of someone's story with you today. And I've got it here. I know someone, and they sent me this a few weeks ago. And I promised that this would be completely anonymous. And I would never do this without consent. I want to read this to you. This person writes, and I want you to see how the narrative changes as I read through these words this morning. I lay on the floor, my knees to my chest, and I cry. I cry and cry. Why is it so painful to be empty when you're born to be full? Why am I full when I starve to be empty? I'll eat more tomorrow. I promise to the body that looks back at me. I promise to Jesus' body on the cross that died for me that I will. I don't swallow energy. I swallow guilt. I don't eat food, I eat at myself. I don't taste flavor, I taste shame. I pray every day to let it go, to bury it in the grave that Jesus rose from. You can't, it tells me. I can, he says. And that's it. Someone wrote that, and we have it, and I believed it was right to put it in there today. You can. No matter what situation you find yourself in, you can. Jesus is an open door to a good future. Amen. And I believe that great stories can be told by those that have been faced with that open door, just like Pauline prayed this morning. Seize the day. Seize the opportunity, walk through the door. You know, when it comes to doors, people either go through them, hang about them, press against them, or, you know, procrastinate at the threshold of them. And God says there's a door that you can walk through. Now, before you can walk into something, you've got to enter or walk into it, don't you? So in this context, we're walking through the door that is Christ, new life, the way, the truth, and the life. John 10:9 says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus just keeps opening the doors. He opens the doors of provision. He opens the doors of salvation. He opens the doors of service. He opens the doors of healing. He opens the doors of hearts. And in every case, obedience to walk through those doors is the key. There's the key. Walk through the door. And if we are obedient and we to do his will, as Paul was, we walk through the door, we'll grow spiritually because God will grow those who are obedient to him and want to do his will. Amen. Now, some people don't go through certain doors. Things stop them from going through certain doors. Maybe the impression they have is the opportunity is not big enough for me. My life was made for greater things than this. Are you kidding me? What is this puny thing? What is this? It doesn't seem like there's much is going to come of this. People want to do big things for God. That's what you travel around. Oh, we want to do big things for God. And they will wait until something suitably sized comes along before they say, okay, I'll do that because it seems to matter more. It's bigger. But in terms of service, if we don't start doing the little things, we won't get the opportunity to do the big things. And so I'm encouraging us as a church today with things to do and a church to grow and people to save and reach out to be conscious of the small things, the little things. Amen. It's about preparation. God wants us to prepare ourselves so we are ready to move on with Him. And someone once said to me, when your preparation meets your opportunity, advancement comes. And so there's going to be a time when we've got the opportunity to redirect our lives and redirect the story of our future. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. Are there workers in this place? Workers. Don't be ashamed of work. The Bible often says there and uses work illustrations to get a message through to us. He who puts his shoulder to the wheel and looks back is not fit for my kingdom. That's what the word says. And that is what the world is going to try and redirect your shoulder from the wheel. It's going to try and get you to stop working for the Lord. It's going to try and get you to be... I'm going to use this term because it's in my spirit, passive resistant towards the church. And so let us not be passive, but let us be active. The word of God is living, amen, and it's active. It's like a two-edged sword, amen. So wherever you are, start where you are. If a small door or opportunity appears, walk through it. Bigger doors will come. Amen. We keep waiting for God to present an opportunity when God's actually waiting for us to be prepared for the opportunity. I think that will probably strike a chord with everyone in here. We are all waiting. God, when are you going to do this? And God's like, I'm just waiting on you to be ready. I'll know when you're ready. So I want to encourage you, be faithful in the small things. Doors of service are open to every person. You just need to ask the Lord, show me, Father God, show me what can I do? What can I do? What can I do for not only my church, but what can I do for my community? And in that vein, we're going to be helping out with the Choose Kawinning volunteers on the 25th of November in the morning up Kawinning Main Street. So what can we do? Now, your story might not take you to Swaziland, but it might take you to downtown Stevenston. Doesn't seem quite as exciting. You know, I've often asked, why doesn't my story take me to Hawaii? Oh, maybe one day it will. But I'm right where I need to be, in Kawinning. I'm right where I need to be, in West Kilbride, my hometown. Well, my adopted hometown. Amen. And that's my place called there. That's the place where God needs me to be. Amen. The faithfulness that you show towards God and His Spirit will lead you to the place that you've got to be, the place called there. Amen. And God doesn't reward us according to where we are. He rewards us according to our faithfulness. So it doesn't matter where your position is, or what materially you've managed to accumulate, God is only interested in our heart's position. That's the position that really matters, not the position where we are geographically, because we've all messed up on that front before. Amen? You see, it's like Ziklag, the story of Ziklag in the Bible. There were some of the men that went off to battle, but some men, and actually this is very good, a good point for me to interject here, because the mighty Springboks won the Rugby World Cup And I'm going to emphasize the mighty Springboks. Back to back, four World Cups, come on. But there's only 15 guys on the field at one time. But there's 23 players in their squad. Plus, you've got all of these other people that are there in the back room, the coaches, the masseuse, the physiotherapists and everything, all of these people. And it was incredible to hear when Sia Khaleesi was speaking. It was about the team and the mindset of the team. And the mindset was, even if I don't get onto that field to play, I'm going to be the best opposition you've got on the practice pitch, on the training ground that you've ever had. I'm going to make you work when you're training. And these guys fulfilled every role according to their coach's plan. And we have a plan. And we have a heavenly coach. We have a heavenly author. He can script your life if you'll let him, but you have to let him. And then he will move you to the position that you need to be in. Amen. Some of these guys, when the other men went to war, had to stay behind and guard the stuff. Because when you're away, let's all go to war. And then all the mighty men go to war and they get back and everything's being plundered. That actually did happen as well. They all got back and all of their wives and their kids and their stuff had all been plundered and taken away. Amen. So sometimes it might seem like you're in an insignificant role, an insignificant place. But I want to say to you this morning, the people who stayed behind, the people who fulfill the smaller roles that were rewarded just as greatly as those who fought in the battlefield. Last night, when President Macron and Bill Beaumont and the President of South Africa were putting medals around people's necks, it wasn't just the 15 players who got the medal. They all received the medal. They all received the winner's medal. Amen. And so I want to encourage you. Sometimes it might feel like the hardest thing on earth to do is to stay in, and I'm saying this biting my lip, stay in your wee church. This is not a wee church. This is a great church. This is a church where you can go wherever you want to from this church. Amen. You can go wherever you want. And some things, it can be the hard thing just to stay in your community and in your church and just, I'm looking for doors of opportunity to come up. But Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great and effective door has opened up to me, and there are many adversaries. You know, it might not look like much, but God will open a great and effective door to you, and adversaries will come and try and stop you from going through that door. And you know what? There's many doors I wish I'd never walked through, but I know it was God's will for me to walk through them. So I walked through them with great trepidation and what on earth, Father God? This must be your plan, and somehow it's all going to work out for good. I know that. Amen. So there'll be opposition. But Paul was using wisdom here. When he walked through that great and effective door of opportunity, he was wise. He knew that he was going to face certain things on the other side of that door, like in Acts 1 and 8. He needed that. Verse 8, but you will receive power and ability and efficiency and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Amen. So it's not just for Paul, it was not just a door of service that was opened. It put him into places where he could, that was a door of utterance. I now, all of a sudden, God has given me an opportunity to speak, to sow the word, to tell the story. To tell a story. Amen. And so, praise God for that. Thank you for joining us today. For future content, please subscribe. And if anything spoke to you or was relevant to you, please leave a comment. If you want to find out more about the church, how to support the ministry, or connect with us, then go to bridge-church.com.
So until next time, thank you for joining us and goodbye.